Good evening, and welcome to Acting Up. I'm Meredy.
And I'm Russ, and tonight is the grand finale.
Finale.
What?
Okay, it's pronounced finale, not finally. If you say finally, it sounds as though you couldn't wait for the season to be over. I mean, I know it's been a long time since we had an episode, but seriously.
Not what I mean. I mean, of course, I'm sad this is our last drought. I mean, it's great that we're just...
Yeah. Go ahead. Just talk your way out of this one. Go ahead.
I mean, it's graduation night. And the night we pick a winner, and you get a new cast member for Dreamcatcher.
Okay, true. I'll give you credit for that.
And
maybe you should stop talking, and maybe we can go over what we're going to hear about tonight.
Right. Okay, so this show is all about improvement. Upping your game. Get it? Acting up.
Okay. Unfortunately, yes. So let me explain what's happening.
Okay.
Thank you. Our show tonight has two parts. First, we've asked all of our contestants to redo their audition monologues using what they've learned.
And we'll be looking for improvement, which, of course, we're going to take credit for.
Oh, of course. And then we'll be doing scenes.
New and original scenes from a radio play I've been working on, tenderly called So Much Better.
And with that, let's get started. Our first monologue is by Eleven Linda.
The first time you got on my train, you sat two seats ahead of me. You just sat there, typing away on your little laptop, completely oblivious to the world. And I sat there, studying your bald spot, the slump of your shoulders, wondering what it'd feel like to press my thumbs into your back and release all your knots. And there, I wondered if you were married. What the first thing she said to you when you came home at night. I wondered what you were typing. Maybe you're writing your first novel, or a journal about the trials and tribulations of being a paralegal. The next time you got on the train, it was so full you were standing. In every stop you'd get closer and closer to me until I could feel your scratchy polyester suit against my cheek. When the train would lurk, I lurked along with it, and into your hips, hoping that there was flesh there, and not bone. Those suits you wear, they hide so much. And then you weren't on the train. 7 days in a row. And it seemed like an eternity. That commute. I felt so bored without you there. I had to make up stories about the vacation you went on to the Bahamas, or how your wife got so ill that you were there at her bedside, bringing her chicken soup and rubbing bits of vapor rub on her chest so that she could cough up some of the mucus into the fresh tissues you bought her. And then your daughter would come home, and the three of you would sit in bed and read about pirate ships. Because that's what she was studying in school. But yesterday, Day 8. You appeared and you were sitting directly across from me, and I was wearing the ugliest gray suit I owned because I forgot to do laundry. And I kept looking at you, trying to get your attention, because you were reading Still Life with Woodpecker, my favorite book. And once in a while, you would close your eyes and open your mouth, and I could see your tongue. You looked so sweet that way. And then, other times when you were reading, you would get this smirk on your face, and I wanted to say something really clever. I had something in mind. I know those characters by heart. But people, they don't really talk to each other on trains, especially at rush hour. I never found the right moment. And then you got off at Bell Harbor. And I haven't seen you since.
Eleven Linda, going back to hear your monologue, hear this one compared to when you first auditioned, definitely a difference in delivery. I think it almost sounds like two different people to me, actually. Your voice sounds a little deeper. I don't know if you're feeling more relaxed or if you're going for a deeper voice, but it sounded different from when you first auditioned. And I haven't gone back to hear how your voice sounded in the last episode. It's been a few months. I'm sorry, my ears are rusty. I do want to point out, be careful of your enunciation of some words, because there are certain points where you started to slur your delivery. Mostly I noticed it where you were talking about the man who... you're making up stories for the reason why that man wasn't there on the train for 7 days straight. Talking about the Vicks vapor rub and all the description about... you know, his wife being ill, just kind of all slurred together. At one point, I could have sworn you said fudge tissues. I really don't think you said fudge tissues. I think it was fresh tissues. The fudge tissues would be interesting and horrifying at the same time.
Depends on what you want to use them for.
Yeah, exactly. But still, that aside, I think you have... it was evident that you had much more emotion in this new version than when you first started out. I think on the whole it feels more real. There's some places I didn't always follow your emotion, but I could feel that there was that it was developing in certain ways. I like the sigh that you put in, I think about halfway through, was a nice touch. Be careful about, you did made good use of space, but be careful not to let space steal your dialogue. So it sounds like me when I can't talk and don't know what I'm going to say. I'm doing this on purpose, but you've listened to me long enough, I'm sure it's noticeable that when you don't know what you're saying, you can't create the sentence. And it's kind of what sounds like what you're doing in certain parts. But, on the whole, it was, much better. And I love the way you ended it. The, you look so sweet that way, and the note about being really clever and reflecting on the book, I thought it felt really genuine to me. So, yeah, on the whole, I think you've definitely improved, and it was a very nice listen. Russ, what do you think?
I would absolutely agree in the improvement. The original one, you mostly kept the same tone throughout. It was a wistful tone, but there was basically no variation. Like, I didn't get too much of a connection between you and this guy you were talking about. In the new one, I heard a lot more. When you said I wondered about you, that it was a nice feeling, and then you weren't on the train, I could tell some disappointment. And when you said you're sitting directly across from me, there was a tension in your voice. You did have some problems with words. You had more problems the first time. Listening back, I found that you wondered about him writing stories about what it was like to be paraplegic. The second time you corrected it to paralegal.
It made so much more sense this time.
Yes. The first time you talked about the train leaving, you said, and the train left and I left, or leapt and I leapt. I couldn't tell which one it was. The second time you said lurked, which is closer to lurched, which is what it actually is, I believe. Mm-hmm. So you were closer, but that's something you need to be careful about. making sure that you're actually getting the right words at all times. I wasn't thrilled with the way you left it at the very end. I thought you missed a chance to have more power, more wistfulness in it. You know, I never saw you again. It was almost matter of fact. I thought it was one of the weaker parts in it. You have a tendency, and this is one of the things that is going to cause you the most problems, to break up phrases. So when you said, "And I sat there, studying your bald spot, the slump of your shoulders," whereas if you put them together, you can build. "And I sat there studying your bald spot, the slump of your shoulders." It has more power, more feeling than if you give up all the energy to stop and then do the next small phrase and stop.
That's what I was trying to get at. You put it very nicely.
It is definitely improvement, and that's what we're looking for. We don't expect you to become a world-class VA in just one competition show.
I do.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't anyway. But you took some major steps forward. I think you're in a better position to do well on future shows, and I hope to hear from them. Hope to hear some more of them. Our next monologue is going to be from Leave Me Alone.
All right.
"You're thinking I don't look like a divorcee. They're usually around 35 with the tight-fitting dresses and the high-heeled patent leather shoes and big boobs. I look more like the kid in a custody fight. I can't really talk about Jack. No, I will talk about him. Once in a while, it's good to do something you don't want to do. It cleanses the insides. He was terribly sweet and groovy looking, but kind of adolescent. You know what I mean? Girls mature faster than boys. Boys are neater, but girls mature faster. When we met, it was like fireworks. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but it was a marvelous kind of passion that made every day feel like the 4th of July. Anyway, the next thing I knew, we were standing in front of a justice of the peace, getting married. I mean, there we were, getting married. I hadn't even finished high school, and I had two exams the next day, and I was thinking about them too. And I heard the justice of the peace saying, 'Do you, Jack, take Jill to be your lawfully wedded wife?' Can you imagine going through life as Jack and Jill? And then I heard it, 'Till death do you part.' And suddenly, it wasn't a wedding ceremony. It was a funeral service. Do you know that a wedding ceremony is very morbid when you think about it? I hate anything morbid, and there I was being buried alive under Jack Benson. I wanted to run screaming out into the night, but it was 10 o'clock in the morning. I mean, you can't go screaming out into 10 o'clock in the morning. So I passed out. If only I'd fainted before I said I do."
Leave Me Alone. I'm going to start with the same comment Meredith made about 11 Linda. This sounds like a completely different person. In the original audition monologue, it felt like you were reading it or possibly standing up on a stage delivering a monologue as delivering a monologue. In your retake, the one you just did for this episode, it felt like you were sharing a confidence. There was a person there. It was not just somebody reading lines. It was actually somebody sharing something that had gone through. She'd gone through with somebody as a form of intimacy. I noticed some things like the shyness you put into when you said, "I don't know if I'm saying it right." In the previous one, you paused in the middle of phrases a lot. I didn't hear that. And yet, despite that, despite the way this one moved on a lot more, I noticed you actually took your time a lot more. In the previous one, you actually went from a minute 45 to 2 minutes and 5 seconds. And it did not feel like you were just stretching stuff out. The whole thing felt alive and real, and I was very impressed. Marty?
I agree. Just like you said, it really does sound like a different person. There was more emotion there, changes in emotion. I'm more so than your original, some good energy. It's exactly how Russ put it. It felt very conversational, like you were telling a story. Like, I love hearing the hesitation in your voice when you first started, when you said, "I don't want to talk about Jack." Like, that it just sounded so natural. You had the little comment of, "I can't go running out." You know, you can't go running out at 10 o'clock in the morning screaming. So I passed out. And it, like, the little tweaks like that are just are so beautiful to listen to. They're very subtle, and it tells so much about that character. So very nice job in putting those elements in. I did. I had a. I don't know how I felt about the whole wedding storytelling, like the specific portion of. And suddenly I was in front of the Justice of the Peace, because it still felt like there could have been more. It felt very incredulous at times. It came through, but there could have been more panic and distress. Especially when you got to a place where saying, if it wasn't a wedding ceremony, it was a funeral service, you still kind of sounded okay about it. So I wanted to hear you do even more with that. But on the whole, it sounded very nice and much better than your first read.
And you didn't do any cleaning of your lines either.
Yes.
And Love Linda sounded much better too, as far as noise yes. in the background. Mm-hmm. And you must have changed your location or something, because it sounded great. So both of you, kudos. The mixers are happy.
Yes. So we'll see if we'll see if we can keep that up as we listen to Temporary Butterfly.
Why are you crying? But I believe you. I do. Please, don't you leave me too. No. Oh my God, oh sweet lady. Don't leave me. Please. Please don't leave me. I'll be good. I won't be your bad baby anymore. No, Mommy. I don't want to go with you. Stop pulling me. Your hands are hot. Don't touch me like that. Oh my God. Mommy, don't burn me. Don't burn me. I sit by the window of my room every night for a week. One night, I heard the most beautiful voice imaginable. It came from the middle of the wheat field beyond my room, and when I looked, I saw the moon shining down on him. For 6 nights, he sang to me songs I never heard. And on the 7th night, came to my room and opened his wings and lay on top of me. And all the while he sang, "Charlie's neat and Charlie's sweet and Charlie he's a dandy. Every time he goes to town, he gets his girls some candy. Over the rivers and through the trees, over the river to Charlie's. Over the river and through the trees, to bake a cake for Charlie."
Okay, Temporary Butterfly. I started writing notes, because I'm doing writing notes by hand today.
And the first comment I wrote was as follows. This is creepy. This, I thought, was much better than your first take. Just right off the bat, your very, very first submission, like the first 45 seconds, was a little unintelligible because your character went into hysterics. But this time around, there was much more clarity both in the hysterics and in the singing later on in the monologue, which just makes it all that more unnerving. I thought it was nice pacing. You slowed yourself down a little bit and really connected with the other character that we can't see, that other person that you're... whoever mom is, or whether the mom is real or imaginary, it's obvious you're reacting to her, and we can see that happening, or we can hear that happening. I just thought it was very, very, very nice. I half the time I forgot to take notes, so good job.
Yes.
Yes, Russ.
Yes.
Russ is a comment for me.
No, actually not. Well, in the first version, Temp, all I was sure of was you were trying to sound insane. The second time, this one, you actually sounded insane. Mm-hmm. I could understand what you were saying. As Meredith said, the first time, all I knew was you kept getting quieter and louder and quieter and louder. This time, I could hear it. I could hear in the pacing the craziness. The "don't burn me," when you said it in a normal tone of voice, sounded positively horrifying as opposed to when you shrieked it the first time. Just as things started getting tense in your monologue, I heard this whistling sound. And I thought, oh, what an effective sound effect. But then I stopped and said, wait a minute. I stopped your recording, and I still heard it. And I finally figured out it was coming from Meredith's side. It was her neighbor taking a shower. You can probably hear it right now. It just started at the dramatically perfect moment in your monologue.
See, I'm helping you out, girl. I'm helping you out. You and me. We're good. I got your back.
But overall, it was a wonderful improvement. You did not need the sound effect.
I'll actually say in response at one point, which is something about this monologue, I heard a little bit of Russ listening to your take at the same time on his side, and at one point it almost got to be kind of an echo effect, which made it even creepier.
All right, so anyway, so very nice job, nice improvement. It's really good to see you picked up stuff, and we're gonna go on to our last monologue, and see if Skywish
is doing anything good today.
Right,
see if okay, boy, sounds great.
We're gonna see if Skywish can do the same thing as she talks about her pink bunny rabbits.
Ooh.
Sometimes, I just wish the world was full of pink bunny rabbits. There would be a beautiful, lush forest, green grass, a sparkling brook, and it would always be warm. And all that would live there would be pink bunny rabbits. Hundreds of pink bunny rabbits. They would eat the grass and the leaves, and there wouldn't be any wolves to hurt them. Every rabbit's mom and dad would love them, no matter what. And all the rabbits would be in love. They would all have the perfect mate that would never, ever hurt them in any way. They would be able to trust each other and know that if something bad happened, no one would run away. I know it's a weird dream, but I've had weirder. My boyfriend used to tell me how cool it would be if there were one-way mirrors into the girls' locker room. That's kind of strange, but then again, he's a guy. I had another friend who thought that rocks were alive and that if you touched them, the grease on your fingers would kill them. Yeah, that's a little weirder. But someone once told me that he had a premonition that one day we would all have flying waffles for cars. That almost takes the cake for weirdness. No, I'll tell you the weirdest thing I've ever heard was when my doctor told me that I was pregnant. There's no doubt that that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard. I never knew a 15-year-old girl would... Well, I suppose I've heard about it happening. I guess I never thought it could happen to me. I wish the world were full of pink bunny rabbits.
Skywish, I'm actually a bit disappointed here because I didn't hear that much of a difference between these two. I went back and listened again carefully, and I noticed the first time you started kind of giggly. The second time you started a lot more matter-of-fact. The first time when you talked about finding out you were pregnant, you sounded very matter-of-fact. The second time you sounded a bit loud, but I didn't notice much of a feeling at all in either case. And I felt that you'd missed the point of the monologue the first time, and I think you missed the point of it the second time as well. I don't really have an awful lot more to say than that. Merity?
I've got to disagree on that.
Oh, good.
I mean, the first time through I listened... I would definitely agree with you on that very first take. I mean, it was the way you originally did it was sickeningly sweet, peppy, high schooler, almost not real, very much fake. But it kind of turned to a point where I kind of got the feeling that that character was in denial. And so it kind of worked. It made sense. This time it feels like the character is bitter and upset and very much more down earth, in my opinion. To me, the feelings are more real. The story that you made about the bunny rabbits, it's not just a funny little story. It's a projection of the character's feelings. And I'm getting more of that in this take than her original submission. I liked the bitter attitude that she had going on throughout the whole monologue. And I don't think that she was getting loud. I think she was just getting so frustrated and upset that she just that was the one point where she couldn't hold it in any longer as far as the character goes, because it wasn't this whole thing isn't about what's weird so much as the strangest thing that's happened. It's about this one particular event that's happened to her. To me, it sounds in this version, this newest version, like the news that she's pregnant is new to her, or is a very recent discovery, like maybe like a week ago or something like that. And she's telling a friend, and I finally just can't stand it anymore. So I definitely think there's a great deal of emotion in this. I don't, as far as improvement goes, I think it has improved. And I think the biggest improvement lies in the direction that she decided to take with this. I think she took it in a much more challenging way than the original just felt very superficial. So I think this is much better, and you're welcome to disagree on that. But.
Okay. I guess in this particular case, it's just the subject matter of Pink Bunny Rabbit sounds so strange. I've heard this done in a way that it made it all make sense, made it very poignant, and I was looking, was hoping for something like that in this take, and I just didn't hear it all.
So are you judging her off of her improvement, off of her own work, or are you judging her off of this other performance that you've heard?
I'm trying to judge off of her improvement, And there were certain points I was hoping to hear made in this to make the lines make sense. And I didn't hear those.
What would she needed to do to make them make sense?
What I was hoping for, I mean, a 15-year-old girl finding out she's pregnant has got to be life-shattering.
Yeah.
And I was hoping not just to hear frustration, you know, like, which is, you know, I'm pregnant is the same sense as, you know, my friend keeps borrowing my books and not returning them, or you know, I tried to get a ticket for the show and I couldn't get it. There should be a big, big difference in the emotions for those situations. And if you come across in this case as almost shattered, then the repeated "I wish the world were full of pink bunny rabbits" now comes as my whole world comes out as my whole life has been destroyed. I wish things were just really nice and simple again. And it was like It was like the world being full of pink bunny rabbits was a line that didn't mean anything to her.
Well, I see where you're going, and I can see how that her interpretation is different. But I think she used the pink bunny rabbits as more of a statement to express what was wrong. Like the whole thing about a family, you know, parents would support their kids and everybody would be able to trust each other. To me, the way she delivered it was pointing out things that aren't so in her life.
Yeah, it's just, I thought there was more she needed to do to really make that hit clear. Home.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
It's a difficult monologue to do well, I think. But okay, well, at any rate, this is one in which we disagreed. But we're done with the monologues.
Yay!
And now we're going to go on to some scenes.